Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you been doing?
Warm.
Warm, absolutely. And warm with no wind this last week. I greatly enjoy that, for sure. And as always, we have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Tom Coyne from Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
You know, Lance, I'm doing great. I've been having some sprinkler issues, and so I like the warm weather.
That.
But I was hoping for some rain to kind of help me assist while I get my irrigation lines all patched
well,
up.
Well, we've talked about that on the show before, and the startups and making those changes. And this time of year, that can really keep you busy.
Yeah.
But once you get it dialed in and get it going, it makes it real nice to have those. But irrigation repairs and maintenance to make those lawns and those properties look the best they possibly can is one of those curb appeal type of things we talk about. So
yeah, we certainly do. And I do have some dry grass. So don't come and judge my curb appeal right
okay,
now.
Okay, good thing we are not trying to sell your place right now. Absolutely. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this one is Demi Moore is selling. She has a Central Park West penthouse that she bought in 1990. Apparently, the article tells me that's the year that Ghost came out, according to Zillow in this article. And it says that she's now asking, it's a 7,000 square foot triplex, three different units that were combined together. And that is on the market for a small price of $75 million.
Oh, my.
But you got to think 7,000 square feet right on the park, right on Central Park. And it is absolutely incredible, the views. I looked up the listing and stuff. But get this. The monthly maintenance fees. You know how you go into a development and you say, hey, I'm looking at Fountain Hills, Lance. What's the homeowners association dues for the lawn care and taking care of Fountain Hills? It's like about $450 a month up in Fountain Hills.
Mm-hmm.
The maintenance dues fees for these apartments are her fee monthly fee is $21,186. Because it's actually two apartments, because on the lobby level there is a two-bedroom guest apartment, of course, because just in case you had your guests over, they could stay at the ground floor two-bedroom apartment, which I'd hate to think what that would be separate, too. So, yeah, this is quite an amazing property. The pictures are absolutely incredible, but it just said that she doesn't spend any more time there.
So she doesn't want to spend $21,000 a month on HOA dues.
And apparently, yes, $21,000 a month on HOA dues can definitely add up and cut into your monthly budget. So that is Central Park West, 7,000 square feet. The estimated monthly mortgage payment on top of your HOA dues, if you were to finance that, would be about $273,000 a month.
You know, and if you are interested in financing that, please do give me a call.
Absolutely, Tom. We'd like to cap off your year there for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take the rest of the year off.
Well, one of the things we always like to talk about is Tom and I always get together a couple days before the show and we say, hey, let's put together our topic this week for the show. What are you seeing and what's happening in the market and what type of things are you doing? And so one of the things I wanted to go over is we are headed to a real estate conference, and I always like to take a topic that we are looking at and then that's relevant and then push that into the show. And so one of the things we're doing is Karen and I spend a lot of time networking with the other top teams in the nation. And so we go down three times a year and we meet with the 150 other top real estate teams across the U.S. We do that for a couple reasons. Number one is it keeps us up with the industry trends. What's happening? What are the greatest, brightest minds in that network doing to improve their business and better serve the customers. And then also it gives us some face-to-face time with agents and people that we start to get to know that we can trust to send our referrals to. So that when you're going to South Carolina, when you're going to Houston, when you're going to California, we have an agent there that we have a relationship and that we know operates on a high level like we do, that we can send you to get so that you're well taken care of when you go to that market. At the same time, it also increases the exposure for our local listings. That way, when folks are coming into town, they're getting referred to our team. We're getting those referrals. We had 3 from Texas last week, 2 from Portland, and 1 from South Carolina. So what that is doing is that's giving our team access to a greater pool of buyers, which then allows us to sell more of our listings. And I got to tell you, in a tight market like this, that type of synergy is one of the things you're looking for. We had, I think in the last 6 or 7 days, we had 14 sales, and 7 of those were sold within our team because we had access to those buyers. They were on our websites. We were able to call them, get a hold of them, alert them about new properties, and help our sellers get those sold. So one of the things I wanted to go over, and a lot of people don't understand, is what is the structure? Why is your company called Kenmore Team? Why is it not like a traditional company that's just, say there's a lot of them, ERA or Coldwell Banker, Century 21, any of the number of traditional companies? Why would you name it with a specific team in the name? And so that's one of the things we wanted to go over because we're very, very different than the traditional real estate model. I'm a big fan of Henry Ford, and I think a lot of that comes from, I love what goes on in the auto industry and cars, and I'm just really enamored by that type of stuff that happens in that industry. So I've always been a fan of what Henry Ford was able to accomplish. And one of his best quotes about teamwork is, "Coming together is a beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success." And that quote always, always hit home with me. Another one that I just absolutely loved always came from Michael Jordan, and that was, "Talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships." And so there's a lot of talented real estate agents out, in our market, and we work with them and deal with them all the time. And one of the things about that is that talent might win a transaction, or if you look at it as a game, but you really need that collaboration and teamwork if you're going to win the championship. And for me, that is, the pinnacle of what's going on in the community with regards to the real estate. So we've set our, once again, kind of like with the Henry Ford model, we've set ourselves apart by operating a little bit more with an assembly line efficient type production. And one of the reasons is because I noticed really fast in the business that there's some things that I really, really enjoy about the business, and there's other things I'm not very good at in the business. And that just really early on, when you look at, we've talked about, you've got 25 to 30 different touches that are going to happen in that transaction. I love going to sellers' properties. I love valuing that property. I love helping them get it ready to be on the market, and working with that relationship. That is what I'm very, very good at and really gets me excited about that. Also, the marketing and driving the traffic to those listings. I'm not very excited about faxing a verification of employment for a buyer over to a lender that needs it. Sorry, Tom, I know you're a lender.
Hey, but I understand.
But that does not get me charged up. And so that organization of that I know is necessary to be extremely successful, that part I'm not very good at. And so what we've done is hired that to somebody who is absolutely incredible. So there's different personality types, and we started using those personality types and those testing of the personality types to put superstars in each different type in a different position within our business. So that portion of it can be delegated really well to somebody that loves that. I mean, it blows my mind, but there are people out there that love a complete file that's perfect with every single piece of paper in the right spot. and they are charged up about that. They're as excited about that as I am negotiating a deal. I don't understand it, but it exists. And so we have to find those people and put them in those positions. And so that's what we've done, is taken that sales process and split that up so that you are getting the best possible service throughout the transaction. And that is drastically, drastically different than 95% of what goes on in our local real estate market. And so it started with how can we structure our team to best serve the client? So immediately what I did is we have put together a structure to where we have, once a contract has been negotiated on that, we have a specific listing coordinator that is a, and here's a big difference too between us and a lot of other folks that are attempting to operate a team like that, is our closing coordinator is a licensed real estate agent. So they have the same licensing and education requirements that I have. And so they are able to help you actually answer those questions about your property, look at those contracts, and know what's going on there if you have questions and need help with those type of items. They are not just, I did not want it to be, they are not just what some people call an admin, or they're not just somebody that is answering the phones. When you call, you're getting a licensed real estate agent. And that's rare that somebody goes to that level of education and licensing and then is in a paid position to just be managing those files. They don't have to worry about selling, because that's not what they like to do. Mm-hmm. And so what that has done is really increased our efficiency. I can be here at the radio show doing this with Tom, working on promoting what's going on in our industry, getting more traffic for our sellers, and helping our buyers find new property. And we can know that those files are in good hands and being taken care of while we're out doing that. So it's that type of synergy that we're going and working on with our team. And there's about seven more levels of it. And I probably, like we always say, could put this into five or six different mm-hmm. shows. I don't want to bore everybody, but I'm trying to fit it into one show. And I know Tom operates on a very same type of level, and that's why it's become such a great partnership between us. And so when we come back from the break, we're going to go over the rest of our structure. What other key positions are there at the Kenmore team that can help you maximize your marketing or purchasing power when you're considering representations in a real estate transaction?
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about team structure, the importance of having a team behind you to meet your real estate needs as we move into the second half of the spring market, early summer market coming out. And one of the things we talked about is really how we've taken that role of the real estate agent and we've dissected that and put true experts in each part of the transaction moving along. And it really has changed the ability to what we're able to do for our customers, what we're able to do for our sellers as far as exposure, and then really change our customer service. How quickly are we, say, responding to website leads? It always just really bugged me early on in my career when someone would submit a question on a website, and now we know that 92% of home buyers are online on their mobile devices, pulling up those statistics and asking questions.
The stuff that you talk about, that you were talking about 2 or 3 years ago,
is
now we're seeing ads for nationally on television.
Absolutely.
Trendsetter.
And so that's what we're trying. That's why we're at these team conferences, to stay ahead of this. And so what happened is it always was really hard for me in my personality that when one of those questions would come in, but I was out with a showing on clients and showing a house and looking at a house, that I couldn't answer that question. You know, say it takes an hour and a half to show those two houses and get back to the office. Boom, guess what? That lead's gone. An hour and a half mm-hmm. in the web is like days of not returning inquiries. Mm-hmm. So what we've been able to do is say, okay, how can we fix that? And it's going to be expensive, but what we can do is we can take a licensed agent and we can put them in a position, we can get them licensed, and then we can put them in a position, a paid position, where they don't have to sell, and that's all they do, is they answer those inquiries, they answer those questions, they grab that web lead because they're probably asking a question about one of our listings for our sellers, get them the information they need, and then when it's time to show them that house, bam, get one of our buyer specialists out. That is what they do, is they just do those showings and help grab that customer and finish off the sale. So we did that. We took that step, and we have an inside sales agent that is a specialist that is answering those questions. And I tell you, it is a big luxury, but it also has become a huge marketing point for our listings and sellers. We are churning a lot of deals out because we're able to answer those questions and provide that customer service at a way higher level than we're seeing with other models. So that is, I get really charged up about it because this is something that we work on daily and we've designed from the ground up, and there's probably not a subject that gets me more excited than talking about this team structure and what we're doing. Because I absolutely love the people that we have in our positions, that our team is at about 12 right now, and everybody has a specific role. And it is just an incredible synergy with those roles and what we're doing. And so I absolutely couldn't be happier about that. Plus, what we're able to do for clients moving forward in the rest of 2015. So when two like-minded people get together and start working together on the lending side, I said, Tom, I know this is a great topic because you have a similar setup on the loan side of things. So I'm going to have you talk about that a little bit. We're going to let Tom Coyne talk about his structure at Umpqua and why we have that partnership and do so much business together.
You know, Lance, I heard you talking before the break, and you used the words assembly line and specialized roles. And it absolutely mirrors what we have to do in the lending world and at Umpqua. You know, everyone is guided to just do a specific task, where if I was a loan officer who also ordered title, appraisal, I did all the processing of the loans, I underwrote the file, I prepared the loan documents, I funded the loan, then that I've done that and it's taken up my whole day. And there's a lot of times where I'll have 6 or 7 meetings with clients where I'm not doing any back end work whatsoever, but Lance, our loans still close on time. And it's because of all the different people on the team and all the different roles they fill. But the first person in every transaction is always going to be me, the loan officer. So the client comes through the door, we're going to meet with the clients, discuss their various loan programs, identify what options are going to be best from them. We'll issue that pre-approval letter so they can go out and find their home. And I also expect our loan officers to put together a really good application. So when they're going through an application with a client, how deep they go into it is going to identify any potential red flags or anything that could come up in processing that could cause a loan to have issues or delay closing. So when my loan officers are going through an application with a client, we're making sure that they're getting all the income documentation up front, all the asset documentation up front, and any other supporting documents like divorce decrees or bankruptcy paperwork, anything that our processing and underwriting team is going to need. The better job the loan officer does up front, the smoother the loan goes through the rest of processing. And I say it to my team all the time, 90% of the time, if a loan has problems, it's because a loan officer missed something. And that's true. And that's true with every lender. I mean, we are the first step in a transaction and the first set of eyes that gets to see what situation a client has and what their background is in determining their financial credit worthiness. But let's say that loan leaves my desk, it's ready to move to processing. We give it to a gal in our team that does all of our order outs. Now, she has a very, very important role. There's so many different people and third parties in a transaction, and she gets that ball rolling. She's going to order title, appraisal, employment verifications, asset verifications from the banks. She's going to get tax transcripts from the IRS. She's going to get any FHA or VA documentation that's required for a specific loan. So she gets all these verifications rolling. Now, we do that as the very first step in a transaction because a lot of those take 3, 4, 5 days to actually come in. An appraisal, sometimes 2 weeks to come in. So the sooner in the process we get all those third parties moving forward, the faster we can finish up the rest of our job. Then that file gets moved over to our processing team. All of our processors managers are in-house, and our goal for them is that they close around 20 transactions a month. Now, in order for them to be able to do that, it again starts with the loan officer putting together a good file and our order out gal getting everything ordered as fast as they possibly can. But they're going to be the last set of eyes before that file gets turned into underwriting. And so they're going to make sure that all the documentation's there that is required for that specific loan program. So they are really well versed in loans, and a processor could easily be an underwriter with how much knowledge they have simply by preparing a file and getting it ready to go to underwriting. Now, when the file is sent to underwriting, that is the bank's final say in approving a loan. They're going to look at the entire package that's been turned into them and once again verify that we've met all the requirements of the given loan. Now, sometimes they'll ask for additional documentation, and then that's our processor's job to round that up and get it back to them. But our goal is when we send to underwriting, we come out with no conditions. And that's what our hope is on every transaction. If we go into underwriting and come out with no conditions, we're likely 1 to 2 weeks early in finishing that loan. And that's the standard we like to set. And that's what Lance's team, they've kind of come to expect from us on a lot of transactions. And once the underwriter's done with their job, then once again, it goes to another set of teams, and that's the document prep team. So these guys are the ones that prepare all the final loan documents. As you can imagine, when you have all these legal documents and you have a loan package, everything has to be precise, accurate, with no mistakes at all. So that when that button is hit and all those loan documents are sent to the escrow company, the client goes in to sign, there's no mistakes on them. If there were, then the client isn't going to sign them. They have to be redrawn, resent. And the client has to go in. We've wasted the client's time. We wasted the escrow officer's time. And potentially we've delayed a closing. So they have a very important role to make sure all the pieces come together and those documents are accurate. And then once that signing is complete, once again, the file's sent back to us and it goes to a separate team, the funding team. Their job is to basically review all the documents that the escrow company got us and make sure everything was signed. And they're also going to check for what's called prior to funding conditions. These are any last remaining conditions that the underwriter has on the file before they'll allow the loan to close. Once all those rounded up, all the documents were signed, we consider the loan funded. That means the loan money has been sent to the escrow company. Now, as you can see, we split this entire loan process into six different roles or functions, and I've left out really important roles, and that's my assistant. She is an absolute rock star. Her job is just to make sure that we go from start to finish as quickly and efficiently as possible and make sure that every person in a transaction is kept informed throughout the entire process. A lot of people ask, you know, why does it take 30 days to close a loan? Well, hopefully that just painted a pretty clear picture on
all
the different moving parts. And then we haven't even got into, you know, all the managers and the management team that's out there. But it's vital to have a strong team behind me. And that's what allows me to sell Umpqua and sell our products, is because I know that what I'm selling, I have the ability to turn and close as efficiently as I say we do. So I'm certainly the face of the business, but the backbone is all the support staff that are with us.
Tom, that's great information, and I love the way you're set up, and it really shows in the customer service. I mean, we really expect, I mean, and you know this, we expect high level of customer service for our clients, and that's why we send them to you, because mm-hmm. we know that's what they get there. So thanks for doing that and organizing all of that, because I know it is a lot to organize. And so one of the things that we talk about is the ability to get more done in a quicker amount of time. And this process has allowed us to do that on the real estate side, because for us, the more exposure and the bigger the buyer pool is that we have available, the more likely we are to get a property sold. And so that type of exposure, those type of online leads, and then utilizing those systems really allow us to fire at a much higher level than we could otherwise. So we've, you know, it's been a couple of years building, you know, like I like to call it the dream team, you know, mm-hmm. it's been a couple of years building that, aligning all of those parts. And right now in a great market like this, everything is really firing on all cylinders. And so that structure is coming right along and doing great. Now I'm going to go to this conference, learn from guys that are way smarter than I am, and probably come back with a bunch of new ideas for the next 12 months.
And maybe a suntan.
And maybe a little bit of a suntan, yes. So we'll see if it's not too cloudy in San Diego, for sure. But before I do that and take off, I want to get in a new pick three, because we said the market's hot. We've got amazing new inventory coming up and coming online. And so this first pick is incredible. So if you've ever thought about living on the river, this is a property that is very unique, does not come up for sale very often. And what this is this property is located at 1010 View Drive in Richland. And that is right below the Bookwalter and Tagaris wineries off of Columbia Park Trail. Sits right down in the small community of homes right on the Yakima River. This is a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, and it's a Rambler with a basement. It's on 1.3 acres, okay? 1.3 acres in South Richland on the river. Okay, I don't say that very often in, because you can't line all those terms up together and be talking about a real property. Okay, so this has huge windows that showcase that river view. You've got a living room with the fireplace, master bedroom on the main level with a 3-quarter bath. Downstairs in the basement, you've got a 25 by 12 workshop area, 2 more bedrooms and a full bathroom. Amazing pull-through carport area, and then a 2-car detached garage shop. And here's the thing about this property, too, that makes it even that more unique. The 1.31 acres is already split up into 2 different lots. So you've got the house on 0.6 of an acre, basically, and then you've got a buildable river lot on another 0.6 of an acre. And this is priced at $340,000. Okay. Wow. It is an amazing opportunity. And so a fantastic property. The likelihood of it being here on Monday still, in my estimation, is low. So if you're interested in that property at all, please call to check the status of that. That's 1010 View Drive. You can go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, request a showing with one of our buyer's agents, or as always, just feel free to give us a call. Pick number 2, this is going in Pasco, 6211 Buena Court. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler. It's in a cul-de-sac. It's 2 blocks from the river over there in Pasco. Off Buena Court is off of Court Street, 1944 square feet. And so you get that location in the cul-de-sac, so you get very, very little traffic. You've got an extended rear patio. You're on a 1/3 of an acre lot. And it has city services. So you've got that large 3-acre lot with sewer and water. So that means you can utilize that acreage to either put a shop or a pool back there because you don't have septic to worry about, which you see in a lot of those West Pasco locations. So absolutely great property at $239.9. So super, super great pick too. And then the last one, 5311 Bakerloo. This is a great big, just fantastic 4-bedroom, 3-bath home. Also, Bakerloo's West Pasco, right off of Sandifer, almost 2,500 square feet, master suite, huge walk-in closet, private bath. The lower level, you have a second big family room, a large office, fully fenced backyard and RV parking, and that's coming in right under $200,000 at $195,000. Wow. A lot of square footage for the money. Great condition on these properties. So we're in that spring inventory. These amazing properties are starting to pop up. You know, we've talked about low inventory. We still have low inventory. So what's coming on the market is getting a lot of looks quickly. But now we're starting to see some of the properties that maybe the buyers have been on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to come up in the spring. Every day they're putting on great, great inventory. Go to kenmoreteam.com. Check out that inventory. Shoot us any questions if you have any. And on the lending side, to get pre-approved, or if you're wanting to buy in the next couple of months, Tom, how can people get a hold of you?
You know, if you want to fill out an application on my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com, I'd be happy to get back with you, or call me at 783-7300.
We'll be right back here next week.
Right here on Who's Talking 70.